United Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. We take you live to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service.
Morning, or no, it's not morning, good evening. The force of habit, right? But if you're joining us online or over the course of the weekend, in that case, good morning. Glad to see you this evening here at St. John's. Today is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Throughout the season of Epiphany, we kind of see Jesus revealing himself as the Son of God, as the world's Savior from sin. And the event that we remember and observe today really leaves no doubt. This is called Transfiguration Sunday. We remember that event when Jesus took three of his disciples up on a high mountain, and there he gave them a little bit of a glimpse of his true glory as the Son of God. To guide our worship, we're going to be following setting three in the front of the hymnal that begins on page 188. And at some point this evening, if you haven't done so already, please do be sure to sign the Friendship Register. That is the little black book in each row of pews. Thank you for doing that in advance. And let's begin our worship with the first three stanzas of hymn 390, Jesus, Take Us to the Mountain.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jordan Ertle will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. Join us now in singing hymn number 390, verses 1 through 3.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep.
We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by His death on the cross and freed us from death by His resurrection from the grave. And so we have peace with God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. And in the voice that came from the bright cloud, you foreshadowed our adoption as your sons. In your mercy, make us co-heirs of glory with Jesus our King, and bring us at last to heaven through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first reading from God's Word chosen for this Transfiguration Sunday is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through the first half of verse 12. This is the account of the prophet Elijah being taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. We see Elijah again in our gospel reading. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 2b, if you'd like the music for that. It's on page 7 in the gray Psalter book.
second reading from God's Word is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthian believers, chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. We were not there on the Mount of Transfiguration to see Jesus in his unveiled glory, yet we do see the glory of God in the gospel of Christ. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. The congregation may be seated. We'll sing our hymn of the day for today. That's hymn 388, Down from the Mount of Glory.
grace and mercy and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is recorded in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21 as follows. To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from within the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We heard this voice, which came out of heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the completely reliable prophetic word. You do well to pay attention to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Since we know this above all else, no prophecy of Scripture comes about from someone's own interpretation. In fact, no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. The congregation may be seated. In Christ Jesus, dear friends, every year, as we mentioned at the beginning of worship tonight, we set aside one weekend, one Sunday per year to focus on this one extraordinary event from Jesus' earthly life and ministry, the Transfiguration. Means to change form, to change appearance. And as we just heard from the Gospel of Mark, Jesus went up on that high mountain. We're not told which mountain it was, but if you ask me, it's probably Mount Hermon, which is the only mountain that is high enough in that area to get a snow cap on it. Goes up there with Peter, James, and John. And his appearance changed. His face shines like the sun. It's radiant. His clothes are dazzling white. But one detail often gets missed from these events. And that's that most likely this happened at night. How do we know? Matthew doesn't include this detail, neither does Mark, but Luke does. The disciples were sleeping when the whole thing started. Jesus' appearance changes, his face is shining like the sun, and their two iconic prophets from the Old Testament are having a conversation with him. It's Moses and Elijah. And what are Peter, James, and John doing? Sleeping. Guys, pay attention. Now, it's not hard to imagine Peter kind of wishing somebody was there to like nudge him or yell at him and James and John to pay attention while they were dozing off. And it's fitting then that in his second letter, where Peter makes reference to this exact event, he takes that opportunity, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, to tell his readers, you and me, pay attention. Pay attention to what happened on that mountain. A little more on this conversation that Jesus was having with Moses and Elijah. We might wonder, why those two guys? Why Moses and Elijah? Yes, they are two of the most well-known prophets from the Old Testament. But think also about what they had in common. Both had a very personal, very real very extraordinary experience with God on Mount Sinai, aka Mount Horeb. Both men heard the voice of God. Both men had a conversation with God Himself. And both of them had their own experience with God showing them a version of His glory, be it all a bit veiled. And now here they are, alive and glorified, and once again on a mountain, but not Sinai. Once again, having a close encounter with God's glory. But this time it wasn't a cloud or just a fire or even a gentle whisper. This time, their close encounter was with God made flesh. Pay attention to that. Now, what do you think that all says about Jesus? The parallels are striking, both in the scene and in the words that are spoken on the Mount of Transfiguration. There is absolutely zero doubt left about exactly who Jesus is. True God. And there's more. Pay attention. We may wonder what Jesus was talking about with Moses and Elijah. And once again, Luke's account does give us that detail. Luke tells us that they were talking about Jesus' upcoming departure that he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. When you think about it, that is quite the contrast, right? I mean, because you think about just the spectacular scene and how it looks, what you see there. You see Jesus pulling back the veil a little bit on his glory, letting that shine forth. You have two living and glorified prophets there. I mean, everything about that whole scene is glorious. Yet the topic of conversation, something that would seem to be the opposite of glorious. They were talking about Jesus' death that was about to happen at Jerusalem. Yes, these two men who had met God on a mountain, we're now talking to God on another mountain about what God would do, not just for them, but for all people on yet another mountain. Oh, Calvary. Pay attention. If in such a glorious setting, Jesus' death on the cross is the topic of conversation, and what does that have to say to us about the importance of that topic? Now, just in case all that weren't enough, there's also that small matter of, you know, God the Father booming his voice from heaven once again, speaking of his love and his approval of his only begotten Son. Yes, the Father loved the Son. But the Son would still go to the cross. Yes, the Father was well pleased with the Son. And that is exactly why the Son had to go to the cross, because this dearly loved, divinely approved Son of God was the only one who could rescue sinners by giving his holy life in the place of theirs. Pay attention, dear Christians, because everything that happened on that mountain where Jesus was transfigured points us to the fact that Jesus is true God, true man, on a mission to save sinners. Pay attention, because this isn't just the figment of somebody's imagination. Listen again to what Peter wrote. He said, "To be sure, we were not following cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." The most reliable source is the source that was there, right? Take it from the eyewitness. The whole episode just sounds fantastical, but it happened. This isn't just some story made up. Peter says that explicitly, and it's really clear. It's really clear when you consider that the Greek word that we translate as cunningly devised has with it the idea of being self-serving. This certainly was not a self-serving myth concocted by Peter and James and John. How do we know that? Because a year or two after Peter was inspired to write these words, he died a very terrible, unceremonious death. Why? Because he kept talking about Jesus being the world's Savior. So pay attention. Pay attention when Peter writes, "Yeah, I was there and I saw it and I heard it." But then he writes something that just jumps off the page. Now, have you ever had an experience where something happened that was so out of the norm, so extraordinary, that no matter how you tried to explain it and relate it to somebody else, you just couldn't? You couldn't capture it fully, you couldn't make them understand and feel what you felt in that moment, and you just have to kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, you had to be there. You just had to be there to see it for yourself or experience it for yourself. Now, the Bible is full of things that I wish I had seen, Jesus' transfiguration being near the top of that list. So you might expect Peter to tell his readers, you just can't fully grasp it unless you were there. But he doesn't do that. Here's what he writes. He says, "We also have the completely reliable prophetic word." And if I may be so bold as to tweak that translation just a bit to capture a little bit more of the original language, we also have the more reliable prophetic word. And then he goes on, "And you would do well to pay attention to it." No, you and I weren't there when Jesus was transfigured, as much as we may wish we were. But what do we have? The very Word of God. Pay attention to it. And how are we doing with that, by the way? When I've had a long day at work, and I'm just drained, I'm just exhausted, and I need to go recharge, do I go home and sit down and spend some quiet time with my Lord and His Word? Or do I plunk myself on the couch and click on the TV, or put my phone in front of my face and scroll for a long time? Is time in God's Word, whether it's here at church or at home in my own personal devotional life, is that the immovable thing in my schedule to which everything else that happens in my life has to bow. That I plan everything else in life around. Or is it just the opposite? I'm guilty of this one too. When you get a little squirmy, a little complainy, if I have occupied a pew for more than an hour, how easy it is to get spiritually sleepy. So, dear Christians, we would all do well, wouldn't we, to pay attention to this sure prophetic word, this word of God, which is even more reliable, even more trustworthy, even more enforced, because God's word is not just some random collection of cleverly concocted stories and events written over a couple thousand years that just all happen to have the same exact central message, God's grace to save sinners. These are not the words of men. These are the very words of God. No, we weren't there with Moses and Elijah on Sinai. No, we weren't there with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. But make no mistake about it, each of us hears the voice of God. It's not booming to us from heaven, but it comes to us in the pages of His Word. Words like these, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We say them regularly at the beginning of worship like we did today, but do we truly regard them as what they are, the words of God? To which I would do well to pay attention and take to heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and crushed heart, O Lord, you will not despise. That's the voice of God talking to you. Pay attention to it. He wants you to come to Him, not trying to minimize or not trying to hide or to rationalize your sin, but owning it lock, stock, and barrel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That is the voice of God. Pay attention. Because isn't that just the best news? Because I live, you also will live, Jesus says. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. That's the voice of God. And this voice of God isn't just heard for an hour once a week in this building. No. When a father leads his family in reading the Bible and in having a devotion at home, God is speaking through his voice. When a mother rocks a fussy infant to sleep, singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so," that is the voice of God coming through her voice. When a teacher speaks and applies God's word to a classroom full of students, God is speaking through that teacher. When a child assures a friend who is enduring some heavy burdens that a child shouldn't have to bear, and that person's friend says, "Jesus still loves you and God is still with you," that is God's voice speaking, yes, even through a child. In the persistent and sincere and, yes, often pain-filled pleas of somebody who is urging a strange sheep to come back to the fold, in the voice on one end of a phone call reaching out to somebody who hasn't been in church in a long time, in the nervous invitation from one friend to another to come and hear more about Jesus. That is the Lord masking his voice behind theirs. I don't need Sinai. I don't need Horeb. I don't need the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't need the mountain to hear God's voice. I just need his word. And you and I have it. So pay attention. Probably the understatement of the century came from Peter when he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." You got that right, Peter. Getting to hear God the Father's voice from heaven, getting to see Jesus unveil his glory. But make no mistake about it, dear Christians, it is good for us to be here. To hear the voice of God, to see Jesus in his glory coming to us in word and sacrament. It's good to be wherever we are. Whenever we hear God speaking through his word. Here still today, God comes to us and reveals his saving glory. So pay attention, because you don't want to miss it. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We bow our heads in prayer. We praise you, O Father, for the precious gift of your Son and for his glorious transfiguration on the holy mountain. Give us the firm resolve to listen to your Son, the eager readiness to believe his promises, and the joyful willingness to heed his commands. By the sign of Moses and Elijah, show us that blessed are the dead who die in faith, for they shall know the power of Christ's resurrection and shall be changed from glory into glory. O God and Father, let your Holy Spirit find a dwelling in our poor bodies and transform our weak and sinful lives into the radiance of goodness, purity, and righteousness. Transform our minds, our understanding, our judgments, yes, our whole persons, to reflect the mind of Christ. Take our sickness and pain, our disappointments and despair, our sorrows and mourning, our pride and anger, our selfishness and envy, our hate and fear. Take all of these, Heavenly Father, and transform them by the healing touch of Jesus into noble impulses, pure motives, kind thoughts, constructive deeds, high courage, and true faith. And hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private prayers. Hear our prayers, and by your mercy, grant our petitions for Christ's sake. Amen. A reminder, if you brought an offering with you, to please leave that in the alms box in the back. With that, we will continue with our next hymn, the final two stanzas of hymn 390, Jesus Take Us to the Mountain. That's stanzas 4 and 5. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we next gather for worship, it will be Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent. And on that day, we will begin our solemn journey to the Savior's cross. While the joy of faith remains undiminished throughout the year, our rejoicing during Lent is muted and quiet. For centuries, therefore, Christian churches have omitted their most jubilant songs during this season, including the word Alleluia, which means praise the Lord. Now for a time, we say farewell to Alleluia. We do this to prepare ourselves for the quieter days of Lent. The Alleluias will return on Easter dawn as we gather to shout our praise to the risen Lord. And so we sing Alleluia, Song of Triumph, to close our worship.
Hello again. Good evening. Got it right that time. Glad to see you this evening. Some things to bring to your attention. As we just kind of had at the end of the service, yes, this coming Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent. It is Ash Wednesday. We will have worship here weekly on Wednesdays. Our theme for this year is God on Trial. Services will be at 3:30 and 6:30 every Wednesday, and we will also then have our soup and bread suppers every Wednesday starting at 4:30. If you would like to sign up to help with that, the sign-up sheet is right next to the alms box in the back. Please check that out. A couple events coming up. The Morning Doves are going to host another Bunko Game Day. This can kind of serve as maybe a Super Bowl pregame because it's going to be on Sunday at 1 o'clock downstairs in the Fellowship Hall. It's my understanding that last time was a lot of fun, and so the Morning Doves wanted to do it again. And also then on Sunday, February 25th, from 1 to 3 at Thunderbird Lanes here in Baraboo, we are going to have a bowling event. Anybody from school and church is invited. We just need you to let us know that you are coming to that. There is a sheet to do just that right next to, I believe, the soup and bread sheet back there. If not, I'm not sure if I didn't look here, but if there are flyers up, there's also a QR code that we have that you can actually scan with your phone, and it will take you to online registration, and you can just do that right on your phone. There's also that as well. See, I forgot some things last week, so I'm paranoid this week. Ash Wednesday, we do also have a church council meeting on Monday at 6:30. Anything else that is important, I believe, can be found in the newsletter and in your bulletin. God's blessings on your week. Hope to see you next Wednesday.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 o'clock a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, will be appreciated. The television program today was produced by Jed Strobel. This is Brent Bailey. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service live from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. It's now 11 o'clock here on 99.7 FM at WRPQ Baraboo. Time now for Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
What is evangelism?
Luther says it's simple.